Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 30th, 2021. My thoughts on Twitter June 30th, 2021. The main, fundamental difference between the state before and after the maxim is that before the maxim, all of one's actions are only for the sake of reception. And after the maxim, one's reward is the ability to act not for oneself, but for bestowal, for the Creator. Not just a pandemic. The world has fallen into such a difficult state that it will be forced to move toward connection whether it wants to or not. We are being pushed to this from above, and if we do not want to connect, then the connection will start to be implemented anyway. We will feel opposition to it and will incur great suffering and troubles. This is similar to the attitude of parents toward children. If children are friendly and obedient, then parents treat them kindly. And if children behave badly, then parents have to punish them to correct them, and children feel this as evil. We are now in a special situation. For the first time in history, human society is undergoing a general transformation. The coronavirus pandemic is incomparable in scale even with the Second World War. It affects everywhere on the globe. And beside the pandemic, other blows will come, climatic cataclysms and other extreme events in order to obligate us to unite more and together resist the blows of nature, that is, the Creator. This is not just a pandemic, but the beginning of a new era that will increasingly balance us, in order to bring us to the right state and a sense of connection and dependence on each other. We can already see how everything has changed over the past year. Tourists no longer travel around the world. Everyone huddles in their own corner. For now, we still hope to return to our former life, but it will no longer be. You will not need so many planes and ships. A lot will change in the world. The problems will not go away until we fix the connection between us. If the connection is correct, that will lead to integration and unity and not for the sake of benefiting from each other, then the system will work. Otherwise, not. This is how the upper governance will teach us. The Creator will stop all our egoistic activities until we gradually learn, through using the example of a common system on a global scale, how to properly work with our egoism. He will no longer let us misbehave. Over the past 100 years, the Creator has allowed us to build global, international systems around the world on a material level, the internet, industrial relations, tourism, and international relations. And now we need to learn how to work correctly with these systems for the good of our neighbor and for the benefit of the Creator. The form of the correct connection is when everyone tries to fulfill the other, like the union of a man and a woman, plus and minus. Therefore, I have to look at what the other person lacks, what I can fulfill him with. And he is searching for the same needs in me. This is contrary to our egoism because we try to make an alliance between us, in order to earn money from each other. But the development has reached such a limit that this approach no longer works. The egoistic union has ceased to bring profit as before. And therefore, these systems will fall apart and stop until we grasp in what form they should operate. So far, we have developed in an egoistic form, but it is time now to correct what we have done. All this will happen in the coming years. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson June 26, 2021. Serving the Creator. Question: before the people entered the land of Israel, it was called Canaan, from the word Leknia, to belittle oneself. What does this mean inside a person? Answer: this is the property of Abraham, who constantly annuls himself before the Creator. If a person in his advancement attains the desire, land, eretz, from the word ratzon, desire, to bring himself even closer to the Creator, then this is called coming to the land of Canaan. Question: although in corporeality Abraham came to Canaan from ancient Babylon, then descended to Egypt and again went to Canaan, then to Beersheba, Sodom and Gomorrah, all these movements took place inside a person. Are these changes of states? Answer, of course. This is exactly what happens and it is the most important thing. This refers to internal, not external changes. Question. It is said that Abraham sat in a tent and taught everyone who wanted to hear. What did he teach them? Answer, the principle of monotheism, which is the highest positive force, the property of bestowal, that governs the whole world, and it is this property that we must worship and cultivate in ourselves in every possible way. Question, Abraham was forced to leave Nimrod from Babylon to Canaan. But there was a famine, and he still had to go down to Egypt. What does it mean? Answer, Abraham, being only in the quality of bestowal, could not fill himself in serving the Creator, in congruence with him in properties. Therefore, he had to open his desire to egoistic properties, so that at a certain combination between egoistic and altruistic properties, receiving and giving, he could correctly become like the Creator. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, June 11, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, UFOs or Signs from the Supreme Power? In the late 1970s when I was serving at the Israeli Air Force Base, blinking lights hung above us, like illuminated lanterns. One might say I'm crazy, but not only did I see them, several hundreds and even thousands of people also recall seeing them for several days and nights. I remember how we talked to each other in amazement, what could it be? What is above us? What shines on us, like that? And even though we served in the Air Force, we never got an explanation for the phenomenon. The Pentagon has recently released a detailed report with records of 144 sightings of unidentified flying objects seen in the U.S. over the past 17 years in closed military areas. In America and around the world, people have been waiting for this report for months, hoping to receive an official answer: is there an explanation for the UFOs? In the end, the Pentagon reports no success in explaining the phenomena and also no confirmation that anything originated outside the Earth. In short, it remains a mystery. Although I have not read the report, it is clear to me that there are many phenomena in nature that we also do not understand at all. These unidentified flying objects or UFOs are called this way just because their origin and essence are not recognized by us. If we want to recognize and understand these or any other mysterious events, we need to learn how we perceive reality in general, how the world is portrayed in our eyes. In our eyes is actually in our mind. Is reality grasped in our five senses, in our imagination, or does it exist outside of us, regardless of our perceptual duals? In general, everyone imagines reality differently. There is no way to know that what one person perceives and what another perceives is the same thing. From a broader perspective, we would perceive many more forms around us than just those that are observed with ordinary eyes in our sensory perception. Even as you read these lines, many phenomena occur that we are unable to perceive. The question is not whether these phenomena exist or not, but what is it that we want to derive from knowing about them? Humanity is always attracted to situations that seem out of place with nature, but we are attracted to them in a childish, unserious way, and we tend to produce fantastical mysticism around them. Therefore, humanity derives no benefit from engaging in this type of activity. People simply refer to the phenomenon as aliens landing from a distant planet, from another civilization, and never bother to inquire further and ask what is behind these events. Society is captivated by the alien image of Hollywood, creatures with large oval heads and slanted eyes that arrive at night to kidnap humans. This is no more than a creative invention of human beings. The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks of spiritual forces that are not clothed in material matter. These forces descend to us, from their source, from the supreme power, operate throughout the universe, above time, motion, and space, and can be called by the name angels. Here too, It is important not to relate these to the fictional paintings from the legends of winged creatures. Rather, these are abstract and transient forces of enormous power similar to magnetic force, electric fields of radiation, or a sort of gravitational field. The forces themselves cannot be seen or felt, but are known only by their action. We feel their manifestation but never the forces themselves. In order to grasp the wider reality, understand the mystery of life, and discover the powers that surround us, we must strive to begin to grasp the broad picture, the system that encompasses all of us. If we change our perception of reality, instead of absorbing reality by wanting to receive pleasure only for ourselves, which blocks and limits our tools of absorption, we would act in reverse form, from within a desire to give, in an attitude of giving to others, just as the higher force of nature works. From this opposite point of perception, we would realize that all the little revelations and sensational observations come from the upper force that draws our attention to something that is not exactly within ordinary nature. We would discover that this is so that we would begin to ask more substantive questions about life and discover the true answer, the power that gave birth, sustains and develops the world. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, what is the best way of evaluating a person? We should appreciate only the aspirations and efforts that are directed toward the good of humanity, not toward our own good, the good of our nation or our family, but only toward the good of humanity. If we respect this direction of aspiration and effort, we will then see the degree to which we overcome our egoistic nature for the sake of belonging and contributing to the world. I think that all people must overcome their egoistic desire. If we each contribute in such a way, then we should merit gratitude and respect from society in response. Everyone should value and be grateful to people according to the degree of their social contribution. We are created such that we need society's recognition. This is how, in essence, we express ourselves. If we will arrange a society that respects and appreciates its members for their social contribution, then such a society will protect its members and respond to their contribution to humanity. By doing so, we will enable every person to become an active member of humanity. We will see only positive aspects from every person relative to the whole human society. We will see the kind of contribution every person adds. This is why we must establish such laws in our society where we will each be evaluated only according to our contribution to humanity. If we evaluate people by these criteria, if we will each know that others evaluate and treat us precisely in this way, then we will have no choice but to become healthy cells in the general body, or in other words, we will each realize our maximal usefulness to humanity. Based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman on September 9, 2006. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman. Transformation of Intentions. Prophets, Joshua, Part 3, 14-17, and it was, when the people moved from their tents, to cross the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were before the people. And when the bearers of the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bore the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, and the Jordan overflows all its banks all the time of harvest. And the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in one column, very far from Adam, the city which is beside Zethin, and those that descended to the sea of the plain, the Salt Sea, Dead Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. And the priests that bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm arranged on the dry land in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground, until the whole nation had completely passed over the Jordan. The River Jordan is a very serious boundary between desires that are not directed toward the Creator. They are outside the land of Israel, and desires that are directed at the Creator. Therefore, if you are still outside of Israel, outside of the desires for the Creator, you have completely different states. You can allow yourself, as they say, to take a walk in selfish desires, although this is still a borderline land. But entering the land of Israel suggests that you are completely transformed, have changed your intentions into bestowal, connection, and love. This is the only way you can be inside the newly acquired properties, travel in this land, that is, change your internal properties. There is no reference to any geography here. All movements occur only within the desires, the best, the biggest, etc. You are fighting with your egoistic properties, which suddenly manifest themselves in you as intentions. This is already a much more serious, more internal struggle. Question: It is written, the feet of the priests that bore the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, and the Jordan. What does it say here? Answer: These are completely different properties, a completely different relationship between a person's desire and nature, which the Creator created specifically to correct a person, to raise him to his level. The land of Israel is already the place, the desires, in which the Creator is located. And it is necessary that a person clearly feels where the boundary is between the Creator's desires and other desires that are distant from him. Question: Is the priest in a person something very pure? Answer: Yes, it is the very first sacred quality with which he wants to get closer to the Creator. After all, this is just a journey to come to adhesion with the Creator. If with this intention you entered the new desires that have never been manifested before, that is, you are heading for a new, completely different degree, then you are moving forward. From CabTV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, June 11, 2021. To a new level of interaction. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that we must create such a society, such a connection between us, that would be similar to the spiritual connection between souls. Then we will discover that we exist in a completely different dimension. We will turn our attention to creating a more truthful connection between us. We are not talking about physical connection, rather, we will think how we can connect our inner desires, aspirations, and yearnings with other people, regardless of distances, language barriers, and any misunderstanding between us. We must act in such a way that the contact between all people in the world will become absolutely open so that they would not feel any semantic, linguistic, or psychological barriers and could overcome any obstacles in communication with each other. If we strive to create such a system of interconnection, we will really reach the next level of interaction, and this will make our relations completely different. From CabTV's Conversations, June 9, 2021. The Ten is the common soul. Question: How are the five spiritual senses revealed in the Ten? Answer: A spiritual partsuf includes Keter, Hochma, Bina, Zirin Pin, and Malkhut. Zirin Pin is made of six parts: Hesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. So there is Keter, 1, Hochma, 1, Bina, 1, Zirin Pin-6, and Malkhut, 1. All together 10 Sephirot. Each friend in the 10 feels all five spiritual senses because the 10 is one whole, like a single spiritual body or soul. So you all have one soul. The fact is that in this world we all have one soul, and this structure is called soul, or Adam. In this spiritual body you reveal five senses called Keter, Hochma, Bina, Zirin-Pin and Malkhut. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 7, 2019. Between the previous state and the next. Deuteronomy 34:9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel obeyed him, and they did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Question: What is the blessing that Moses gave Joshua ben Nun to enter the land of Israel? Answer: This cannot be explained because it is not a man but all the spiritual systems that govern us, and the spirit that reigns in the souls that seek for correction. That is why they are included in the system called Eretz Yisrael. It is not the corporeal land on which they stamp their feet, walk through the desert, climb over mountains, and head from the Jordan toward Jerusalem. These are internal changes in the souls that understand how to correct themselves and agree to overcome the egoistic obstacles that appear among them. The blessing is the connection between the previous step and the next one. Question: does Moses in us, the property of bestowal and love, seem to say, "I am connected with you, I will be with you all the time, enter the land of Israel"? Is this a blessing? Answer: yes, but only if we really follow the path of Moses, the path of the Creator. From Captivity's Secrets of the Eternal Book, May 19, 2021. Two paradigms in a person. Question: in Russian psychiatry, patients with mental disorders have always been called soul sickness, meaning their condition is associated with the soul. Western directions call it a mental illness, mentally ill, associated with the brain. Where is this soul and what is it? Answer: I do not know what a soul is in terms of mental, psychiatric, and psychological formulations. From their point of view, this is the highest nervous activity of a person that we can study. In fact, the soul is a much higher structure, one might even say, the highest, which we cannot realize and perceive to the extent, in those volumes, in that knowledge, or in those feelings in which we are currently. But we can study it in ourselves, only in ourselves, if we undergo special psychological training. Such training is determined by Kabbalah very simply. We must begin to act above our nature. It turns out that this is quite simple because if our whole nature is nothing more than an egoistic desire to receive pleasure, then we must begin to apply certain exercises on ourselves that would help us rise above this natural desire to bring enjoyment to ourselves, to a different kind of impressions from ourselves and from the world, that is to work in the opposite direction, to bring enjoyment to others, moreover, above yourself, in spite of yourself. This requires a certain environment that will push a person to this, organize him or her. Then one would begin to feel completely different inner impulses, thoughts, feelings, and attitudes toward others, absolutely opposite to what one experienced before. And these are not just kind, good relationships, because in the end they are transformed into a very interesting structure where a person feels themselves rising above their nature. Since we define the world as something that is given to us, in our sensations, we rise above our world. It turns out that such psychological training allows us to rise above ourselves, to see everything around us in a different way. And then a person begins to feel oneself divided into two parts, into such a paradigm where one treats everyone with their usual egoistic nature in which we were born and develop under the influence of the environment to that new attitude to the world that was born as a result of Kabbalistic trainings, where one has an attitude to the world different from the past attitude, an altruistic attitude. Only this should not be confused with the concept of altruism to which we are accustomed to in our world. A person feels that they consist, as it were, of two parts, from the perception of the world in bestowal and love, in going out of oneself, let's call this the higher perception, and then the attitude that one feels in oneself to the world and back from the world to yourself, is called the soul. And one's past attitude to the world and the attitude of the world to it in the usual mutual egoistic flow will be called the body. Thus, according to our methodology, we begin to divide a person into an egoistic attitude to the world, a bodily one, and an altruistic attitude to the world, a spiritual one. From Captivity's Kabbalah and Psychology. Toward one common goal. Question: in the scientific community there are always disputes about the effectiveness and efficiency of the system of governance. What can you say about this? Answer: First of all, we must set the goal that we want to achieve. If the goal is to raise the overall level of the entire system and its components so that it feels like an integral whole, then Kabbalah believes that such a system can be applied because it works on raising the individual egoistic objects above egoism to work for the common goal so much that it becomes primary. In this case, the personal egoistic goal is suppressed. When people unite in groups where their community is their goal and the quelling of egoistic individuality, their own benefit, is the means to achieve a common goal, then Kabbalah gives us the right method of implementing these ideas. The application of this technique leads to the fact that we begin to feel as a single organism, as one common whole, in which we no longer distinguish the separate individual traits of the people that make up this organism. We are talking about its common essence, that is, about the new quality of bestowal that we have acquired together, annulling our egoistic qualities, reducing ourselves relative to others, only to achieve one common force, one common idea, one common goal. From CAB TV's Science of Management.